Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. How is everyone's day going?
We have a little guest here. Mine's great. I cannot tell you how much I loved today.
That sounds sarcastic. Hey, Freddie.
So, let me tell you. Let me tell you a little story time real quick before we get into the nitty gritty.
Love story time.
Like 2 weeks ago, our dishwasher decided it was basically done. He told us he's only going to be cleaning the dishes on the bottom rack. He doesn't want to touch the top rack. He's going to pretend to clean them, but he's just basically going to leave them covered in like a greasy residue so that even if it looks clean, you feel like it's not. Bailey has a question.
Your dishwasher, yeah, your dishwasher is a male?
Yeah, I kind of got that sense that he's a male based on his personality where he's just like, I don't know. I was going to try and think of a
I'm only going to clean half of it.
Yeah. I feel okay. Like it's like, what's that term that they use?
Weaponized incompetence.
Yeah.
He's going to do it halfway, so you just give up and take over doing it.
Exactly. So we started looking into getting a replacement dishwasher because we do not tolerate weaponized incompetence in this house.
Yeah.
Last week, we made a purchase from Best Buy because I have a Best Buy credit card, and I was like, let's use it. Because dishwashers are fucking annoyingly expensive. Little tidbit there for you.
And also, Best Buy's still around.
Yes. And Labor Day sale. Perfect time. We purchased a dishwasher. It was like $400 off. Hi, handsome.
And we love a deal.
We scheduled it to be delivered yesterday and installed. So originally they were like, the delivery and installation will be sometime between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And I was like, dope.
That's a window.
Yeah.
That's the entire day.
That's when the sun is up. Gotcha.
Okay.
So I had to take the whole day off work because.
Right.
Yeah.
When are you coming? Oh. Then the morning of, they texted me and was like, hey, here's your new window. It's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I was like, thank you. That's much better.
Okay. That's a window.
Yeah. So then.
That's better.
At around 1:30, keep in mind the window is shut at 2. At 1:30,
yeah. Right.
I get a call from a guy and he's like, hey, so I just heard from my delivery guys. They went to pick up your dishwasher. It's severely damaged to the point where they can't, like, if they were to try to install it, it wouldn't fit. And I was like, okay, cool. What's the plan now, bud? Because yeah. I've taken the whole day off work. What are we doing? And he's like, I'll call you either later tonight or tomorrow morning to reschedule. I said, oh, cool. I got a notification last night to reschedule, and I was like, cool. And I looked, and it was like, tomorrow. I was like, oh, today. That's great. I'll reschedule for today. Well, then I got a call this morning that was like, hey, we want to reschedule because it's we don't have it. Okay. When can we reschedule? And she was like, well, it's actually – it doesn't look like it's in stock anymore.
What the fuck?
And I said, oh, okay. What do we do now? And yeah. She said, well, basically she said there are two options. One, we could wait for it to get in stock. And I wanted to be like, a dishwasher is not something people just buy to like have an extra. It's not like a treadmill or something. It's, you know, part of the, like, we use it daily. Like, we need one. So that was option one, where we kind of just wait in limbo, crossing our fingers that it comes in stock soon. Or She could cancel it, refund us, and we buy a new one or a different one. And I said,
Okay.
well, we need a dishwasher, so let's do that. And she said, okay, I'll cancel your order. And then I'm not going to be able to help you with the ordering a different one, so I'll transfer you. So she transferred me, and the phone call disconnected. And I was like, cool. This was at like 2 p.m. And I was like, well, I'm going to go inside and do my evening afternoon stuff where, like, get kids off the school bus, pick them up from daycare, feed them, put them to bed, all that stuff. At 8 o'clock, I went online and did like the live agent chat. I'm not exaggerating. I was transferred to four different agents. And basically the second one told me that she would price match because I was like, now all the dishwashers are more expensive because the Labor Day sale is over. So she was like, I can price match you. All you have to do is place the order and then I'll just make sure that it's discounted to what it was before. And I was like, you're talking about ordering the exact same dishwasher though, right? She said, yeah. And I was like, it's not in stock. Like, I don't want to do that because it's not in stock. And so she was like, well, unfortunately, like, I can't do anything else. So she transferred me to somebody else, and he was, I'm so sorry for your inconvenience. I know how frustrating it is. This,
That shit's so annoying.
yeah, very, it feels condescending. Basically, he explained to me that he's just a level 1 chat agent. And he doesn't have any say over how we compensate people. So I was like,
Then why did you get transferred to him?
oh my God, Bailey, to waste my time. I explained to all of them that I lost money yesterday because I had to take the day off. I am going to lose money again when I eventually get a new dishwasher installed because I have to take that day off. And now also I have to pay more for a dishwasher because the sale is over. And then also, I'm just wasting time here chatting with four different people who are all telling me that they don't have the power to do anything about it.
So transfer me to your manager.
Well, I don't think the managers are on live chat, but the last person, because I was getting really frustrated by the last person. They were like, we really value your loyalty as a customer. And I was like, I don't believe you because you're not like, how am I? If we, he was like, oh, by the way, the dishwasher's back in stock. And I was like, wow, oh, so much has changed in 6 hours. I was like, how am I supposed to? So, you, how do I know that we're not just going to do this again in 1 week where I buy the dishwasher and the next week you call me and say, it's oopsies. Also, I didn't damage it. Why am I being punished?
You should definitely get, if you have to order a different dishwasher, you should still get that same $400 off or whatever
Yeah.
the sale was. Like, they should honor that. It was their fuck up that you didn't get the one you were supposed to.
Hey, you know what? I agree. So, yeah, that's why I was a little delayed because I was getting off the phone with these jerks. I was.
We ready to start?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. Are you ready? How ready?
So ready.
So ready. Okay. We're gonna talk about it's actually a couple cases. They all kind of group together. Drew, you'll need to go to ChatGPT for a better n name of this episode, but I'm just leaving it as Satanic New Jersey.
Oh, that feels right.
Yeah, right? Of
What?
all the states.
How do you know that that feels right already?
Just Jersey.
Oh. Because of the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Just because Jersey feels like an evil place.
So before we get into it, I'm just gonna give like a little brief like synopsis of what the Satanic Panic was. Do either of you wanna do any of you feel confident in defining what the Satanic Panic was?
I like how it sounds.
I feel like I could probably give you a good idea of what it's about.
Sure, go for
I don't know the time frame, but I want to say like the 70s or 80s. old, bo well, I don't know what they were called back then, but like boomers were freaking out about how people weren't as into the church and were more into Satan. And Satan was turning the youths of America to sex and drugs and
Rock and roll.
rock and roll.
Um,
And you could play the records backwards, and it was like demons talking.
think you're getting that from that 70s show.
No, it was an actual thing. But yes.
Was it?
Yeah, there's one specific song. I'll look it up, but they were like, if you play it backwards, I don't know. I'll look it up. You tell me.
Okay, so you're very close. It was a moral panic in the US and also in other countries. The time frame was between the 1980s and mid 1990s. However, you can see that like the 70s helped like lay crucial groundwork for this panic. It was just too early. It was from an unsustained fear and conspiracy theory that secret satanic cults were ritually abusing and sacrificing children on a massive scale. Things that helped like fuel this was movies. Rosemary's Baby came out in 1968. The Exorcist came out in 1973, and The Omen came out in 1976. There was a decline in traditional Christianity. There was a rise in alternative spiritualities. So 70s hippie version, like hippie era and everything. There was also increased public awareness of child abuse and ritualistic activities. We can also trace this panic back to the publication of a book called Michelle Remembers, which was a detailed supposedly satanic ritual abuse that was uncovered through recovered memory therapy, which has been largely discredited. They Do you remember the episode from Criminal Minds, Mr. Scratch? So like that kind of ties into this, the recovered memory therapy. And then also with just growing fear surrounding youth culture with heavy metal music and rock and roll. So that's pretty much what the
Hey,
Satanic Panic was.
can I tell you about the song while you take a sip?
Yep.
The most infamous example. Okay, so first of all, during the height of the Satanic Panic, many rock songs were accused of containing backmasking, hidden messages that could supposedly be heard if the record was played backwards. The most infamous example was Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven.
Oh.
Evangelical groups and anti-rock activists claimed that when played backwards, parts of the song contained phrases like here's to my sweet Satan. This was never intentional, and the band denied it, but it became one of the central pieces of evidence in the Satanic Panic's claims that rock music was leading kids toward devil worship. Other bands accused of similar hidden satanic messages include the Beatles, Queen, and the Styx. But Stairway to Heaven was the song most widely believed to summon the devil when reversed.
The Beatles.
I like that there were people with enough free time and worry to become anti-rock activists.
Lacey, there are people always who have enough time and worry to be annoying.
My question is, did they just travel around to rock concerts to protest? And if so, did they just secretly want to go to a lot of rock concerts? They did it under the guise of protesting rock concerts.
Bailey, to answer your like inquest before, specifically Revolution 9 by the Beatles. I've never heard of that song before. Another One Bites the Dust by Queen, and Snowblind by the Styx.
Okay. Anyway, so we're going to talk about some spooky true crime cases that happened in New Jersey that kind of triggered some satanic panic happening. And I will tell you that the newspaper headlines are hilarious.
Ooh,
Um, yeah, they're great. So we're gonna start with Jeanette DePalma. She is a 16-year-old. She was on her way to work one afternoon in August 1972, in Springfield Township, New Jersey. She came from a very large Italian family. She was one of five daughters and had three brothers.
wow.
Her parents were Salvatore and Florence. So she was reported missing by her parents on August 7th, 4 days after her 16th birthday. Her family were Christians, and Jeanette was known to be very devout to her faith. For 6 weeks, she was gone. No one knew where she was, and there was no evidence until a dog brought home a decomposing human arm outside an apartment complex on Wilson Road.
Oh, no.
Her body was found in a wooded area near a quarry on September 19th, 1972. The dog apparently led them, I guess, led them back to the body or something, or it was like a short search. Her remains were lying face down atop a towering rock formation. Her remains were identified through dental records, and an autopsy was unable to be properly performed just with how decomposed she was. X-rays were taken of her skull. No evidence of fractures, bullet holes, or traumatic injuries. I don't know if there were X-rays taken of anything else. This case is like controversial, of like it might be a cover-up or there might be something going on, so a lot of the evidence isn't great. Cause of death was never determined, and samples of her clothing were packed up and sent to the FBI for further analysis. On January 3rd, 1973, the FBI tested her clothing, which consisted of her blouse, slacks, underwear, and soil from the scene. They compared the hairs collected from her dresser to that on her body, I guess just to confirm it was her. Or I don't know. And no foreign hairs were found among her clothing. There were stains supposedly found on her underwear, bra, blouse, and slacks, but the samples were too decomposed to test for to be like conclusively said that they're blood or semen or anything. When news broke, boy, did the local papers have some fun. So she was found on the 19th of September. On the 30th of September, the Home News Tribune wrote local authorities were investigating the possibility of black witchcraft and Satan worship involved in the death of Jeanette. It continues on saying searchers who located her body said that they found pieces of wood that were crossed on the ground above her head, and more wood framed her body like a coffin. The article quoted her parents talking about Jeanette, saying she was someone who tried to lead others to Jesus, and she was involved in the community work and aided drug addicts and planned to attend a Bible college. Another article at the time said a number of sacrifices involving dead animals were reported around the a reservation 2 miles away from where her body was found.
That's suspicious.
In another article, it said that the Union County Park Police had found burning candles, a bowl of blood, and feathers and pigeons with their necks snapped.
Oh dear.
On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was. I said it was October 3rd. Sorry. Oh.
It's a Mean Girls reference for anyone who's not
Yeah.
born in
Sorry.
that time frame.
I also, in case people thought that I rehearsed that, I didn't. It just dawned on me that I wrote October 3rd. Anyway, totally authentic. On October 3rd,
Definitely
1972, what'd you say?
I said she definitely planned that.
You can see my notes. On October 3rd, 1972, Courier News ran an article reporting that Union County and law enforcement officials may have brought a witch to the site of Jeanette's death
Ooh.
for evidence or something. But that was also
For
like
evidence or something.
the like local pastor at the time also was like, "Yeah, I heard that. I don't think it actually happened. We never learned of anything like after that." So, yeah. One of the officers who was on scene said that Jeanette was found atop a great big mound. He didn't buy into the reports about occult or Satanism. He believed the rumor started after other law enforcement officials were radioed and began climbing the rock face, and one guy noticed some rock or little stones around her head and all that, and he made a remark, said that looked like Satan stuff, which I feel like it could have started from like something that small.
Yeah.
She's in the woods. Like, you're gonna find rocks around her.
Satan's.
She's Satan's.
Yeah. His theory was, he claimed was from the way her body was positioned, is that they were probably doing drugs and she OD'd. However, there was no evidence of drug overdose in the medical examiner's report. I mean, obviously they couldn't do a full autopsy, but like, yeah. He also pointed out that somebody had to be with her because she had flip-flops on, and he said he had hiking boots and he had trouble getting up that little hill to where she was lying.
So what's the theory that somebody like picked her up and carried her, or like
Well, they go on and can, like, so there's a lot of theories. There's another theory that, like, oh, it was a party site,
no, but like
and.
what's the significance of her wearing flip-flops? Like somebody must have carried her or
Or
something?
somebody must have, like, helped her up there.
Oh, okay.
Like, somebody was with her.
Okay.
Over the investigation, key evidence went missing, and witness statements were either ignored or dismissed. Several crucial pieces of clothing and potential DNA samples were either lost or mishandled. John Bancy, I think that's how you say his name, is Jeanette's nephew, from one of her sisters. He believes her death wasn't an overdose. He said, "My aunt was no angel, but she wasn't a drug addict. It was the 70s. A lot of people smoked pot. It was normal. But no, it wasn't drugs. No way." He heard a theory that she was killed by a cop's son. This is also not proven, but his theory was that a cop's son, like Jeanette was dating another guy, and he like tried to like I guess take advantage of her up there or something, and things happened and Jeanette died. His theory continues on to being that like the son was so guilty that he ended up committing suicide.
Is there evidence of that?
No. If you want to scroll through, there's crime scene photos where her body is blocked out. So since this case, no suspects have ever been named, and the death certificate still reads pending further study. Funny enough, in 19 like 90 something, Weird New Jersey, which is like they have their website, they like I don't know if you've ever used it for like some of their information or anything.
I feel like it was used during like the Jersey Devil.
New Jersey Devil. Yeah. They did their own investigation after they got a letter from one of their followers like back in the 90s, like reaching out and being like, "Has anyone ever heard of this case? Too far, Drew." They immediately like started their own investigation to look into it, and were met with resistance from the local police, who claimed that all files and evidence relating to the case had been destroyed. This is back in the 90s or early 2000s, during the flood of Hurricane Floyd in 1990. They continued on like seeking information and like asking about files. And in 2019, they were finally able to submit a file request with, I guess, the Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
This was delayed with COVID and also personnel changes. But once they received the files, they got these images, like these crime scene photos. And to them, there is no apparent like occult activity. Like there's no wood lining her body. There's no wood like over her head, like a cross or anything. They pointed out that the investigator said that the spot she was found in was a party spot. And she likely overdosed. But the crime scene photos, like everything's like severely overgrown.
Yeah,
And
who's
there's,
partying in a bush?
like there's no signs of like a party or a social gathering. They also pointed out that, not previously noted was that her purse appeared to have been dumped out about 8 feet away from her body. But her purse, money, and wallet were missing.
He was robbed.
Yeah, the contents that was left was a pack of tissues, a Vicks inhaler, a small compact lipstick, a comb, a key with a ring attached, a clear vial with an unknown substance resembling a decongestion, which her mom said that she had a mild cold that day that she disappeared, and a small shadow box or eyeshadow box, sorry. And they like just got those like files and everything like a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Justice for Jeanette is a Facebook page with the mission that they're keeping her memory alive by remembering Jeanette for the good person she was and bringing her the justice she deserves. They cited that at the time in the town of, where are we? Springfield Township, that there were some bad people around the town. There was some evil stuff going on. And a
Mm-hmm.
lot of people were caught up in it. They also cited that LSD was basically introduced for the first time around this time. They don't believe she was doing drugs, but they said that there was just a series of unfortunate events, and she got mixed up with the wrong people, and they killed her.
Do you know what the S stands for in LSD?
What'd she say?
Do you know what the S stands for in LSD? Satan. I felt good saying that, especially because I'm knitting. Picture me on a porch.
It's giving
Rocking chair.
the church lady from SNL.
You know what the D stands for in LSD? The devil.
Devil.
Wow. One of the runners, the managers of the page, Edward Salenzo, grew up in the area. He grew up to work as a PI in New York City. He took special interest in Jeanette's case and has a lot of questions about it. He actually questions the whole narrative of the dog bringing the arm to the apartment building. He thinks someone placed the arm near the apartment in order to have her body located, which is creepier.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also sued the Union County Prosecutor's Office in hopes of compelling the agency to test her clothing for DNA back in 2019. Because they still haven't done that. They haven't. I saw somewhere that they haven't, like, reopened her case or aren't able to reopen her case because the death certificate still says, like, pending and further study, but not actually, like, homicide. But like, it's pending further study. Just open it so we can figure it out, but whatever.
Bailey, that's so much work.
I know.
Ugh.
He also said he wouldn't rule out the occult, pointing to the infamous List murders of Westfield and the Patrick Michael Newell's murder in Millville. So he's pointing to other strange cases that happened in New Jersey.
Are we going to talk about them?
We are. We're going to talk about John List first.
Cool.
Sorry.
Right now or
So, no, right now. I just had a cough.
okay, real quick. Do you I think I texted you guys about how one of my patients over the weekend believed that his symptoms were caused by a leftist witch?
Think so.
Yeah. So look out for them witches, man.
I love your patience.
I that has two meanings. 'Cause you love my patients, like my people, the people that I help, but then you also love the patience that I have for these people who think witches are casting spells on them. You see the difference, the two meanings?
Yeah.
Lacey would
This
be
reminds
good
me
with that.
of a TikTok I saw. I forget who said this. It was a comedian, but he was like, I really want to try to get casting spells and saying chants as a saying instead of thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. But he was saying that he was because they're equally as effective.
I mean, if someone told me that they're casting spells and saying chants, like when I like if I lost something, someone, or like I'm going through a hard ch time, I'd be like snapped out of it. I'd be like, thank you.
Yeah, I'd be like, well,
It's like thoughts and prayers don't feel like enough.
I feel like we've been trying thoughts and prayers for a while, and has much changed? Why don't we
It
try
just.
casting spells and chants?
Well, like in casting spells and chants, it just feels like it's more like you're more retroactively doing something.
Lacey, did you hear my thing about patience?
I came in at the end.
Oh, I was
Sorry, I
telling
see.
Bailey about how I believe I already texted you guys about this, but my patient believed his symptoms were caused by a leftist witch. And she said, I
Yes.
love your patience. And I said, that has two meanings because you love my people patients because they're entertaining, but you also love my patience that I have in dealing with these.
With your people patience.
Yeah.
Yes.
We ready?
Yes, tell me about List.
So John List worked as a successful accountant at a bank. He lived in Westfield, New Jersey, in a mansion of 19 rooms, with
Too many
his
rooms.
mother.
Too many rooms.
That's too
I
many
don't
rooms.
know. Hold on, Lacey. I don't know if it's bedrooms.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
19 rooms is too many rooms.
With his mother, his wife, and his three children. Patricia was 16, John was 15, and Frederick was 13. They attended church every Sunday as devout Lutherans, and John even taught Sunday school. They seemed like the perfect family.
Oh no. Never be the perfect family.
In 1971, John, who was 46 at the time, lost his job.
Oh
Oh
no. Satan, probably.
no. He wasn't able to find another job, and couldn't bear telling his family, so he continued to pretend to work each morning. He'd spend his days at the train station reading the newspaper and secretly stealing money from his mother's bank accounts to pay the mortgage.
Honestly, that's sorry. When you said he was pretending, did you guys watch the Unknown Caller documentary?
No.
No, it's on my list too, but I'm mad about it without even watching it.
Okay, so
Is that the one where it's like the girl and her boyfriend in high school?
yeah.
With the girl who was getting cyberbullied?
Yes.
Okay,
The
I
whole
haven't watched it, but I know what happens.
Okay. Without telling you too much about it, the person who did it, she lost her job, and
Nice.
instead of telling her husband about it, she would pretend she was going to work, but then sit in parking lots and cyberbully her daughter. So,
That
this
didn't that
woman,
just give away who did it?
I know, that's why I stuck my tongue out.
We both knew.
Yeah. I feel like most people know at this point.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. I mean, it's lame, but
Yeah.
yeah.
So he, I feel like he's making a better use of his time. He doesn't seem to be bullying anyone. You could argue he's elder abusing his mom by stealing her money, but
I would say maybe he could use this secret non-working time to like go look for another job, but that's just me.
He did. He never got accepted into another position.
Well, maybe.
And then I guess he just, I think he just gave up. Okay, Drew, you know, save that thought for you for a second.
Oh, why? Does he decide to do something terrible instead?
Yes.
It's a satanic panic. It's not going to be good.
John refused to go on welfare. He thought it would be excruciatingly embarrassing in the community.
Yeah, it would be.
It'd
be better to pretend to have a job.
So instead, with the writing on the wall that he doesn't have a job, finances are really tough, he's not going to go on welfare, and worried about his family, on November 9th, 1971, his three children went to school. John went into the garage, grabbed two guns.
Oh no.
Met his wife Helen in the kitchen, his wife of 20 years.
Oh no.
And shot her.
I thought he was gonna like rob a bank.
Me too.
No.
He said, "I don't have a job, so I'm gonna kill you." Is he gonna kill his whole? You can tell us. We'll go ahead.
He's using up too many resources that they don't have.
He then went upstairs to his 84-year-old mother's room and shot her as well. He moved their bodies to the ballroom, which.
And I told you it was too many rooms.
You need a fucking ballroom, I guess. He moved their bodies to the ballroom, arranged them on sleeping bags, and waited for his children.
I don't know.
When Patricia and Frederick returned home, they were met with their father with the gun.
You didn't warn Lacey.
What'd you say?
You need to warn Lacey about dead children.
Sorry. Well, I mean, I feel so. The last one you made her read, and those kids were under 10, I think.
Yes.
These are like 16, 15, and 13, so it's a little bit better.
Badly.
That's fine.
They've probably sinned because Satan.
After Patricia and Frederick were arranged next to their mom in the ballroom, he made himself a sandwich, closed out his bank accounts, and went to watch the high school soccer game where John was playing. After driving home together, John Sr. shot John Jr. in the chest and placed him back in the ballroom with the rest of his family. John left a letter confessing to the murders and explaining that he feared his family confronted with a world full of evil and poverty, and that if they like were to be like poor and everything and on welfare, that they would turn away from God. So in his mind, killing them was the only way to secure their spot in heaven.
Yeah. He did them a favor.
Yeah.
We gotta go out. I support his choices.
John cleaned up the crime scene, his house, used scissors to remove his face from every photo in the mansion.
Oh my God. I thought you were gonna say he used scissors to remove his face. I was gonna have a lot of issues with you, Bailey, if you just slipped that in. But
okay.
He's cutting up family photos.
Yeah. He canceled all deliveries. So he canceled the newspaper, the milk, and the mail. He contacted his children's schools and let the teachers know that the family would be on vacation for a few weeks. He then turned on the lights and the radio, leaving religious hymns playing in the house.
Why wouldn't you want them discovered? Like, so
so that's what I'm thinking. I was assuming that he killed his family and then was going to kill himself as well.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's trying to like prevent them from being discovered has me concerned that he's about to go on the run after slaughtering his family and pretending he did it for their sake. And I'm going to have a real issue with that.
Okay. The murder
Can I continue?
Suicide is okay, but if he kills them and takes off, uh-oh. Not okay. I am a little concerned because he did close his bank accounts. That seems like a good way to make a run for it by having some money.
Tell us more, Bailey.
So that night, John slept in the mansion, and then he left the next morning.
Fuck that guy.
Boo, boo, John,
No,
boo.
it wasn't a things are gonna be hard and I don't want my family to suffer through it. It was things are gonna be hard if I also have to support my family. But if I can get rid of them and start over, it'll be fine.
I like that he removed his face from the pictures in what I'm going to assume is a forensic countermeasure where people are like, who was the dad? I don't know. Was there a dad? Who knows?
He's not in any picture, just this
Yeah, I don't
blank
think he was ever
hole.
here ever. It's just his body in these photos.
So a month passed before neighbors, curious about the constant burning lights and empty window, or empty windows, began to suspect something was wrong. On December 7th, 1971, authorities entered the home. They heard organ music piped through the intercom system, and they found the 5-page note from John
Intercom system.
explaining
Five
that the
page.
body on the floors, the bodies on the floor were his family members, killed out of mercy. He had to save their souls, save the souls of the people he loved.
He had
He
to
got a
lighten the
nice,
load.
he got a nice
Five
little
page note. God, he go to hell, John. I'm sure he did. So.
Thank God, Satan.
Yeah.
The FBI found his car parked at JFK International Airport, and the trail kind of ran cold there for a little bit. But in 1989, prosecutors refused to give up their manhunt, and they came up with an idea. They contacted Michael Linder, the producer of America's Most Wanted, because all their photos of John were like 10 years, 10 plus years old.
Or had no
They
face.
reached out to an expert forensic artist who updated a photo of John. May 21st, shout out Drew, 1989, the episode aired with an audience of 22 million. Tips came pouring in. One came from a woman in Richmond, Virginia, who thought her next-door neighbor, Robert Clark, bore a striking resemblance. She said her neighbor was an accountant and attended church. When authorities went to the Clark's home, they spoke with his wife. She explained they met in ch a church social gathering in 1977 and married in 1985. List had changed his identity when he initially went to Colorado after murdering his family. He kept his alias, and moved to Richmond. Police arrested John List on June 1st, 1989, just 10 days after the episode aired.
Wow.
Nice.
While on trial in 1990, the defense argued that he suffered from PTSD from his military service in World War II in Korea.
Also
But
true.
he was able to recover from that once he had killed his family.
He
It was
And
just a
that's
bad
the.
moment, Lacey, okay?
Yeah.
Everyone
And
has a
then.
bad day.
So
Lacey.
before I was going. So you were saying that, like, it was 1989 when he was caught. I was going to ask until you put the slide up what year the murders were because I couldn't remember. 71. He had 18 years of
On the run.
freedom and life building after he killed his family. That's so annoying to me. Like, I like when we catch somebody and it was like, oh, they almost got away, but then we got him. But like, they had a whole life. Ugh, annoying. Continue.
Psychologists believe that List was going through a midlife crisis. The prosecution pointed out that's no excuse for killing five innocent people.
Thank you,
Yeah.
prosecution.
Real quick, Lewis is about to leave for work. I just want to tell him real quick. When you go
Okay.
through your midlife crisis, please don't kill any of the children. Okay.
He say we'll see.
Yeah, he said, we'll see. Don't tell me how to live my life. No.
You go, Lou. Maybe try not telling him what he can and can't do, and then you won't
You're
be
gonna
in this
trigger
situation.
his PTSD
I'll be
from
nicer
World
to
War
him
II.
when we get closer
Yes.
to his midlife so that I can like skate past those years safely.
Okay. The defense also tried to introduce testimony that List's daughter, Patricia, was a practicing witch. But the judge quickly barred that testimony from the record and like shut that shit down.
Why did he put sleeping bags down?
So, they're comfortable.
Okay.
The jury found him guilty, and the judge sentenced him 5 life terms in the New Jersey prison. So that was 1990. In 2002, sorry, he did an interview and he explained that he didn't kill himself after murdering his own family because he felt that would prevent him from getting into heaven. All he wanted was to reunite with his wife, mother, and children in heaven.
So he
So if
took
he committed
himself.
suicide, he'd be going to hell for sure.
Yeah.
If the murders of 5 people didn't do it, then that would have tipped him over for sure.
Yeah.
But all he wanted was to be with his wife and children in heaven, but he decided to take a new wife while here on earth.
Just to bide his time.
When was the
You get
last time?
bored.
Midlife crisis. When was the last time you guys were inside of a sleeping bag?
What was the last time? What?
You guys were in a sleeping bag.
I think we camped last summer.
Last summer, really?
Yeah, we road tripped from Brandon finished his job in Idaho, and I flew out and we road tripped home, and we did like hotels along the way, but we also did a couple camping spots too.
Did you just sleep on the floor, the ground outside?
No, that in a tent. Yeah.
Mine is probably a couple years. We camp usually at Pat's family reunion, and in the past, Pat and I have had an air mattress and like our own sleeping bags or whatever. But it's been a minute since we've done that, since July is a hell of a month, and we don't really want to sleep outside in 90 degrees.
So yucky.
I feel like
Yeah.
I haven't been inside of a sleeping bag in like 10 years.
We should have a
I
slumber
mean, when we get together
party.
for Halloween, should we have a slumber party on your living room floor?
Sleeping bags. Sleeping bag slumber party.
Anyway, so John was in prison. In 2008, he died at the age of 82 from pneumonia-related complications.
And did he get
Oh
into heaven?
no. No.
Oh.
Probably not.
I feel fairly confident.
Lacey actually, she communicated with the other side, asked, and they
Yes.
said nah.
And they said no, he doesn't wasn't actually capable of feeling remorse, so
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, Lacey, because I'm not super well versed onto like what gets you in and out of heaven, but I feel like murder is usually a no-no.
Murder is a sin.
Oh.
Now, there is forgiveness,
Oh.
supposedly, for every fucking thing. But the
You sound
caveat that
really
I
upset
think
about that.
it's annoying. The person asking for forgiveness has to like feel genuine remorse and like genuinely want to be forgiven. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't consider. You can't just say sorry, please forgive me, and then you are. And I don't think somebody like him could feel remorse. So,
Listen, I think all
hope
in
he's in
all,
hell.
he seems like a real good problem solver. He had a problem, aka lack of a job, and he found a solution.
You ready for the next one?
Yes.
Okay. This one's very short because there's very little information on it.
Oh, was this family?
The next one?
Is this the next one?
My screen hasn't updated.
It's a family picture of it
Oh.
looked like him.
Yes, that is his family.
Okay, why is his daughter making such a stink face?
Because her dad's a
Because she's
murderer.
16. I said she's 16. What do you expect?
What did Lacey say?
She
Her
said
dad's a
his dad.
murderer. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean,
So.
the boys seem happy about it.
Well, she didn't
Well.
want to do this stupid picture anyway.
Anyway,
Oh.
the next satanic occulty case that happened in the area was Patrick Michael Newell.
Is this
This happened.
Is this the picture of him most recently before he died?
Yes, the really old one.
Yeah, he didn't
yeah.
age well.
No.
That's what Satan will do to you.
Mm.
Okay.
So Patrick Michael Newell, this happened a couple months before John List decided to murder his entire family. Patrick was 20 years old when two friends bound his arms, legs behind his back, threw him in the sandpit pond in Millville, New Jersey, and waited for him to drown.
As a joke?
Oh.
No.
Oh, they were legit trying to murder him?
Well, they had their reasons.
Oh.
Satan.
So, one of the friends told the police that Patrick belonged to the Satan worshippers sect and felt that he had to die violently in order to be put in charge of 40 leagues of demons.
So he wanted to be killed.
Yeah.
What? How many is a league?
I don't know. You know, I didn't look that up.
I'll do it.
Great. Another teen said Patrick urged the two friends to bind him, which they did, performed a satanic ritual, and then push him into the pond.
Okay.
Allegations were enough to call in the criminal investigation section of the New Jersey State Police to investigate the possible existence of a voodoo cult.
Ooh.
I'm going to assume, just based on the lack of information I have, they didn't find much. But ultimately, both teens were eventually convicted of Newell's death.
Why? If anything, it was an assisted suicide.
Was it a league of demons?
I mean, that's not great either.
Or a legion of demons?
League.
40 leagues.
Oh, well, I don't have an answer for you if it was leagues.
What's the legion say?
Legion is a biblical term referencing a military unit, typically 3 to 6,000 soldiers. Hold used on. To convey a vast, uncounted multitude of evil
Isn't
spirits.
Isn't there like a thing where it's like 3,000 leagues under the sea?
Yeah, a league is also a distance.
Yeah.
Hold on. I just had that one, but I dismissed it because I didn't think we cared. Hold on.
It could have meant legion of demons just because, I mean, I think I have only had like one source for that little bit.
I've got a mile of men.
There is some, like, depending on where you are, but typically in English-speaking countries, if we're on land, a league is 4.83 kilometers or 3 statute miles. Or that means, I think that might just mean, like, land miles. At sea, a league is about 3 nautical miles, which is 5.56 kilometers.
So it sounds like he wanted to die so that he could be in charge of 120 miles worth of something. I forget. Demons?
Demons.
Yeah.
Demons.
I mean, that's a lot of demons.
And are they just lined up like it's one
They're
line of demons? Or is it as many as you can pack in that square area?
No, it's a single file line, Lacey. They're
still a lot.
Yeah.
A little less overwhelming.
I mean, I feel like you'd be overwhelmed by 2 demons.
Honestly, one would do it.
But that's all I have for the little, like, satanic little mass hysteria that happened in New Jersey in the 70s.
Well, I enjoyed it. Mostly. That one guy pissed me off.
John List. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, I, like, because I asked Drew about it the other day when we were recording, because I was like, have we done him before? Because, like, it kind of seems, and maybe it's just from, like, the past asshole dads that we've covered, but I was like, this feels familiar, where you just, like, murder your entire family and then just take off and assume a new name.
We covered a case, I believe I talked to you guys about it, where this dad killed his whole family. He, like, hunted them down around the house. And then he walked into the woods and killed himself by a tree.
Yeah. And could you?
Wasn't there, sorry, wasn't there also the French guy that like killed his family and then like
Oh, yeah.
yeah, he
went like they never found him?
Yep.
That was annoying.
Was that the
Duplo.
DuPont or something families?
Yeah, he like buried his family under the porch and then skipped
Right.
town and they have no idea where he is.
And didn't he
Yeah.
send letters and stuff to his family that was like, it wasn't me? Am I like remembering that right?
I feel like he sent
Like to the
letters
family he
to,
didn't kill.
yeah, to his family that was like, we're going on vacation, like don't worry about
Yeah.
us or
Oh,
something
yeah,
like
like
that.
to throw them off the scent kind of
Yeah.
thing.
All right. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.